This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. The Institute of Youth Research Malaysia, or better known as IRIS, is a research institute studying various aspects of the young generation's trends and their developments. T.S. Sharifanur Hisham, who is the manager of the Division of Planning and Research from IRIS, is in the studio with me today to tell me more about what they do and what does the research say about our quality of life. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
But before we take a look at the specifics of what IRIS is and what they do, can we just start with how long you've been involved with this institute? Have you always been interested in youth initiatives and policy?
All right. Well, my background is actually computer science. I'm a lecturer at the University Technical Malaysia Melaka. And start March last year, I joined IRIS. It's basically a secondment post. So in IRIS, I'm in charge in terms of the research. But when we talk about youth, that is something really close to my heart, because as a lecturer, you need to love your student in order to be a good lecturer. So despite the fact that the work might be different, but the focus is still the same, which is the youth development.
I see. Speaking of that, how would you describe the youth today? Because, as you said, you are a lecturer, and I'm pretty sure that you deal with plenty of young people. But just looking back at perhaps maybe 10 years ago, how does the youth differ today?
All right. So, well, I think regardless the era, the youth will always be the youth. Which is they always have this certain characteristic that is hunger for knowledge, daring in their action. But that is understandable, because no matter where they are, that's always how youth will be. But if we look into the difference between youth 10 years ago and today, we will see a difference in a certain trend. And I probably talk about this a bit more later in my explanation about the Malaysian Youth Index. Because through the Malaysian Youth Index, we basically measure the well-being of Malaysian youth.
Previously, youth was defined as a person between the ages of 15 and 40 before this, but recently that was lowered to the age of 30. Why is that distinction important?
Right. I think this is very important. Looking at the global trends and looking at the needs of the national needs, it is important to see, to differentiate this age category. If we go to the international level, we will see that in the conferences, for example, or seminars, the attendees are normally very young, in their 20s. Unfortunately, the attendees from Malaysia is normally slightly above 30. So looking at this trend, I think we should empower the youth today. So the reason be why the definition of youth in Malaysia is from 15 to 40 to 15 to 30 is basically to empower the youth today, because we do believe that the youth today have the capacity to actually take more responsibility. And I think it's also important through the Dasar Belia Malaysia or Malaysian Youth Policy, whereby that we focuses on empowering the youth with focusing on their positive youth development.
And I'm just curious why we actually stretched that age to 40 years before this, because when I think of 35 to 40, I know personally, I don't think of them as part of the youth. Who decided on that gap before this?
The definition of youth 15 to 40 was quite sometimes, I think. But after there are some research that been conducted under IRIS back in 2008, we see that there is a need to redefine the age group. And as I mentioned earlier, we also benchmarking with other countries. We also conduct research to look into the age of youth in other countries like Korea, in the Europe, in the US. So when we look, the definition is actually varies. But in the context of Malaysia, looking at our strength, so we feel that in 2015, through the Dasar Belia Malaysia or Malaysian Youth Policy, we define youth as 15 to 30. So historically, the definition 15 to 30 has been stated in the Malaysian Youth Policy back in 2015. However, in terms of the implementation, it's still not fully implemented. This is partly due to the fact that in the Act, the age is still 15 to 40. Mm. So now, after the last month revision in the Parliament, so the new age will take place.
And speaking of the youth, you know, let's just go back to IRIS, which is the Institute of Youth Research Malaysia. Can you just tell me a little bit more about, you know, when this institute was founded and who is spearheading this?
All right. Well, IRIS has been around for quite a while. It was established back in 2005. However, after 10 years in 2015, under the former Minister Youth and Sport, YBK Khairi Jamaluddin, we rebranded ourselves from Institute Penyelidikan Pembangunan Belia to Institute for Youth Research, or IRIS. And IRIS is basically a research institute that's studying various aspects of young generation trends and development in relation to the national, regional and international development. So we are aiming to be the research institute then a main reference in youth developments. And how we're going to deliver this is basically through our core values. So the core values is actually from the name IRIS. I is intellectual, Y youth-based, R research, E empirical study, and S sharing of knowledge. So this is the core value that we have within IRIS. So we are not just focusing on conducting a research. IRIS also put emphasis to collect, manage, and maintain all data related to youth development. So basically, we provide a data hub with regard to youth development in Malaysia. And we also aim to implement the research-based intellectual programs on youth development. This is also related to our roles to carry out research pertaining to youth development. And other than that, we'll also provide technical advice and consultancy services with regard to research on youth development. And also to, of course, once we have the research, once we have the data, we need to disseminate these research findings and outcomes to our stakeholders and also the society.
I mean, we'll get into why, what happens with those findings a little bit more after this. But what aspect of youth-related issues does the institute focus on? Is it sports, politics, the education sector, or is it work, employment?
All right. I would say that we look into all the things that you mentioned just now. And when we talk about the focus that we are doing, I would say the signature research product from IRIS would be the index. Previously, we have Malaysian Youth Index, but now started from last year, we have Malaysian Index Budaya Sukan. So that is just started last year, 2018.
Right. I mean, so does the Malaysian Youth Index still exist, or has it been rebranded as...
No. Oh, we still have the Malaysian Youth Index. And then the second signature product by IRIS would be the Index Budaya Sukan.
I see.
But that is the recent one. Yep.
And, what kind of an active role does this institution play in the administration currently? What are the objectives of it? What is the purpose behind some of the researching that you do besides just the Malaysian Youth Index, which I understand is where it discusses our quality of life generally, but just taking into account your other research into other areas like sports, employment, what purpose do they serve within the administration?
We also conduct research. For example, this year we also conduct research on Institusi Pengajian Tahfiz di Malaysia. We wanted to see into the potential of youth at Tahfiz institution. We wanted to understand the scenario or the issues that they have. So that's one of the things that we studied. We also look into the, we conduct research to see the impact of the programs conducted through KBS. For example, we have this MyCall, which is the program through our Rakan Muda that focusing on the international volunteerism. So we conducted research, I think, in early 2018 and 2017 to look into the impact of this program, whether it should continue. It should continue, or there will be other things that would be suitable when we talk about the volunteerism among youth in Malaysia. Yes.
I see. I'm speaking to T.S. Sharifah Noor Hisham. She is the manager of the Division of Planning and Research from the Institute of Youth Research Malaysia. We are discussing their role and, you know, how research can contribute to the well-being of the youth. We will be right back after the short break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. I am speaking to T.S. Sharifah Noor Hisham. She is the manager from the Division of Planning and Research from the Institute of Youth Research Malaysia, or better known as IRIS. We are discussing their role and how research can contribute to the well-being of the youth. Now, before we went into the break, we spoke about, you know, the definition of youth and why that distinction when it comes to the gaps, the age gaps is important. But now we're going to talk about the Malaysian Youth Index. Could you just perhaps walk me through what this is and the purpose behind it?
Well, this Malaysian Youth Index is, we have started back in 2008. And in 2015, the Malaysian Youth Index has become the national KPI. So what does that mean? It means that we use the Malaysian Youth Index to measure the quality of life of our Malaysian youth. And we wanted to see to what extent, at what stage our youth are now. So the reason, one of the reasons why we come up with this Malaysian Youth Index is actually, this is actually one of the mechanisms to measure the effectiveness or efficiency of the Dasar Bila Malaysia or Malaysian Youth Policy. So through the implementation of this research or this Malaysian Youth Index, we can see at what levels our youth today. So in general, we conducted this Malaysian Youth Index study in 2015, 16, 17. Unfortunately, we didn't do it in 2018. But this year, we also conducted the study. So basically, the field just finished about a week ago. All right. So if we look into the findings between 2015, 16 and 17, there are very interesting trends that we should focus on. And under the Malaysian Youth Index, there are 12 domains. And under this 12 domain, there are 58 indicators. Okay. So,
so these are the findings from 2015, 16 and 17, these trends that you're referring
to. Yes. Okay. So if we study all these 12 domains or the 12 variables that measure the well-being of Malaysian youth, the domains are basically pembangunan kendiri, hubungan sosial, identity, potensi diri, health, pendidikan or education, ekonomi, keselamatan, ketembusan media, sosialisasi politik, waktu senggang, and also the last one is bebas tingkah laku deviant. So these are the 12 components that we measure. So if we look into the trend, in general, for the past 3 years, our youth are at the levels of, I would say, okay or good. But we are aiming to very satisfactory levels. But that is a general score for the index. But if you look specifically on the domains, the two domains that we should really focus on and also give more emphasis is that domain economy and also socialisasi politik. The reason be because these two domains at the levels of unsatisfactory. I would say that the trend that we measure for the past 3 years, I mean, for the past 4 years, 15, 16 and 17, despite that, it's still in the level of unsatisfactory, but it's getting better. The score getting better.
So what does that mean, really, politics, political socialising?
Okay, basically, we measure in terms of the politic literacy among the youth, their participation in politics activity, their discussion on politics. So these are the things that falls under the politics socialisation. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, this 2019 will be an interesting year to see the score of this politics socialization, because last year we didn't conduct the study, so we don't know at what stage. And last year also we have this our election. Mm. And that's why I said that this year will be a very interesting year to see the score of this domain. But what worrying us, what we should worry is actually the economy. Because the reason why, it's getting lower. So,
Does that mean that there's less job opportunities? Or?
Okay, when we talk about the economy, we measure the salary, employment, the insurance. We measure their financial literacy. So if the score's getting lower, it means that our youth are actually struggling with all these indicators. So we should focusing on how to help the youth to basically get a better score with regard to the economy.
And what does the index say about Sabah and Sarawak? You know, what is the youth's quality of life like there?
For the Sabah and Sarawak, for the Sarawak, I cannot share it today because we're still conducting the study. Mm. We almost finished the study, so I cannot share the result yet. For the Sabah, that was back in 2015. It was quite a while ago. And I don't have the data with me today. But I think in general, in Sabah, in all the states in Malaysia, it's all at the satisfactory levels.
And, you know, what does our index say about how we fare regionally, you know, in terms of our quality of life? You know, how do we compare to our neighbours?
Okay. If we compare to our neighbours within the Southeast Asia, so we actually at the third rank after Singapore and Philippines. That is based on the finding in 2013.
2013.
It has been quite a while. So after 6 years, we still haven't got the score in comparison to our neighbours. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when you say we are number three, that means we are in the top three. Would that mean we are performing quite well?
Yes,
I see. All right.
That within the Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think we can learn from our neighbours, such as, was it the Philippines?
Philippines and Singapore.
Philippines and Singapore.
I think in general that what we can learn from them is in terms of that, how they use the index or the findings from this index to implement better and effective programs for the youth development. I think that's something that we should learn and could learn from Singapore and Philippines. Mm. It's also interesting to see that other countries basically focuses only on a less number of domains compared to Malaysia. Among the Southeast Asia and even the Commonwealth, they only focuses on 5 domains. So the 5 domains normally cover the health, the education. That's something is the basic for development of humans. Yeah.
And I mean, it has been more than a year since Pakatan came into power. You know, since then we have seen a stronger push for youth-based initiatives such as the establishment of the world's first Commonwealth Youth City, as well as Undi 18. And, you know, do you think these are enough to meet the needs of the nation's youth? You know, are the right things being prioritized in line with their needs?
Okay, I think for now, yes. What we have plan through the ministry, I think it's very much in line with the findings from our research. But to say whether the current government has actually fulfilled it, I think it's very interesting to see the findings from this year index.
Mm. And when will that be out?
I think by end of the year. So okay. We should be able to get the result, the score by end of the year. I think everyone excited to see that. Mm. As I mentioned earlier, especially for the political socialization, because last election shows that youth actually plays a major role in the election. So we might say that the hypothesis is that, okay, the political socialization should increase from the satisfactory to maybe... from the current score, which is 50.07, we wanted to see a large change or large increment when it comes to the social, political socialization. But that's not just for that domain, but we also hope to see improvement in other domains. But if we look into the current situation whereby our current youth are struggling in terms of economy, I think we should also be realistic here to see despite the fact that we wanted to see the increment in terms of the score for the economy, but looking at the situation today in general, the score might not be much different from the one that we have in 2017, which is 58.05.
Mm.
Which is quite low, yeah.
And where can, you know, are these findings accessible to the public? Where can we go to view these results?
All right. So all these results are available on our portal, which is www.iris.gov.my.
That's IYRES.
Yes, IYRES, iris.gov.my. But we also can be reached through our Facebook, which is Iris Malaysia. Our Twitter, Iris KBS, one word. For the Facebook, Iris space Malaysia.
I see.
Because we have this weekly, we call it IWB, like a weekly bulletin. So normally we pick up certain issues and then we come up with the infographic and put it on our FB. So like the current one that we have is on this Undi 18. So we pick up the current issues that are being discussed in the by the youth. So we will come up with the infographic based on our research finding.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Undi 18, I'm just really curious, in your opinion and based on your observations at least, where do you think politicians go wrong in their approach to meeting the needs of the youth? You know, what could they be doing better?
I think, in my opinion, is that the approach to handle our youth today should be changed. It's not top to bottom anymore. It's now from bottom to top. So the politician should actually really listen to the youth to understand what are their needs, because obviously most of the time what the youth need doesn't meet with the expectation of the older generation. So I think the most important thing is the approach. So I think the politician should be more open up to welcome new ideas, and it has to be from bottom to top rather than top to bottom.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And also, Malaysia is expected to become an aging nation in just a few decades, actually. So research has predicted that by 2020, those aged 65 and above will represent 7% of the population. And that by 2045, Malaysia will become an aged nation. So this leaves us with only about 26 years to go. How will Malaysia's status as an aging nation affect the youth?
It will affect definitely, because we have this aging pyramid. Mm. So if you look into the pyramid in 2030 or 2050 and 2020, it will be very different. So obviously in 2050, the pyramid will, for the older age group, will be bigger compared to the younger generation, to the younger age group. And this will affect very much in terms of the policy. It will affect in terms of the funding It also affect other socio-economics factors. And I think it is important that because the youth today will be the elder generation in the next next 20 years, in the next 30 years, right? So I think it's important to...
That makes me feel very old.
Me too. I'm past the age of youth. But I think it's important to educate our youth to prepare themselves to face the future, to equip them with the right skill, with the right opportunity for them to sustain. Yeah. Because as we have a better health support, so we tend to live longer. So it is important to see that how the youth today will live in the future, in their 30 years from now. Yes.
I just want to get into specifics. How does an aging nation actually impact the youth? More specifically, how do those intergenerational needs cross over and affect each other like that?
Okay. The cross within this age group, I think it happens all the time. So that's why some of the programs through the ministry, through other ministry, for example, Ministry of Health, they also look into this cross age group. Because why? The youth, those who are youth today, in the next 20 years, they will be, perhaps they definitely will have their own family. So they need to be equipped with the skills, not just for them to start their career, but also to raise a family. So the elder generation or elder age group is always become the support to the youth. So that's why through our Malaysian Youth Policy, we'll see that there is, we call it as the Puluh Kumpulan Pelaksana, which covers the family, the masyarakat, the ministry, NGO, even the GLCs. So basically, these are the stakeholders to the youth. So the youth cannot... prosper by themselves, but they need to have support from others. And this is also supported from our research, our study with regard to the asset of youth in Malaysia. Yes.
And what would you say is the biggest obstacle currently standing in the way of IRIS producing more research and more research and more quality research?
Okay. The challenges would be that one thing is to secure funding so that we can do this consistently. Because when it comes to INDEC, it has to be consistent, then only we can see the trend. Secondly is that to disseminate our research output, to make sure that other agencies, other bodies, the private sectors will be able to benefit from the findings. So I think that's among the challenge, yes.
And does the funding usually only come from the government or has there been any corporate contributions?
So far that most of our research are funded by the government and other states' governments. Mm. So, yes, for now, it's mostly from the government.
Mm-hmm. And we are reaching the end of our show. Do you have a takeaway message for us?
I would encourage people to actually to look into our Y data at IRIS, which is our data hub. So in our data hub, we provide data related to the youth. We categorize the data into 12 categories. So these categories including leadership, economy, sports, health. And we actually get all this data from the related bodies or related ministries. So for example, data related to health, this is mostly contributed by the Ministry of Health. So when it comes to data with regard to sports, we have the data from MSN, we have data from the ministry itself and also other NGOs, yes.
I see. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the show today, Sherry.
All right. Thank you so much for having us.
I was speaking to TS Sharifanur Hisham. She is the manager from the Division of Planning and Research from the Institute of Youth Research Malaysia, or better known as IRIS. We were discussing how research can contribute to the well-being of the youth, as well as our quality of life here in Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Live and Learn segments, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.